podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello there, this is part two of episode 74 of FBL Black Box. Hopefully you've listened to part one, in which Az and I did our full post-mortem on our 21-22 campaigns. Now, in this part two, we're going to be analysing the first set of FBL player prices released for the 22-23 season. You join us just as Az departed to get himself a drink, leaving me to start rambling on about when the game's going to be released. Right then. Yeah, I wasn't expecting the prices this early, to be honest. I fully expect the game to launch next week now. But they said July, didn't they, right? So I was never expecting it on Friday, the 1st of July. There was a few people on Twitter going, oh, we're going to get it today. Are we going to get it? No one releases anything on a Friday because you don't want to be there late Friday night or in at the weekend if things go wrong. That's the rule, basically. If you work in any kind of software or websites, you don't do that. I would never have updated Scout back in the day on a Friday for fear of having to work the weekend. So, but next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe is probably favourite. Tuesday's release day in the world of video games. So we'll see if Tuesday is the release day. But if not, I reckon it'd be Wednesday for sure. So we'll see. I don't know, by the way. Don't think I know. I don't know. I don't think it'll be Monday, but I think Tuesday be favourite. And then if it's not Tuesday, I think it'll definitely be Wednesday. That's my take on it. Right, these prices. Where do we begin? So we're going to begin with keepers and defenders, right? When Az gets back, we'll go into it a bit more. I'll just give you a hot take while he's away. I'm surprised, right? I'm surprised at where they're pitching some defenders for a start. The Brighton defenders like Lewis Dunk at 4.5. The problem there is it's all good. I think what they're trying to do is kind of draw our attention away from the wing backs, right? The glamorous defenders like Trent, like Reece James, like Cancelo. I don't think it'll work. I don't think we're suddenly going to go, you know what? If I go a whole defence of four fives, and they're not bad teams, Arsenal, Brighton, Leeds, Wolves, Brentford, I could get four or five defenders for those, then perhaps I can afford even more big hitters up front. I don't think anyone's going to do that. I think the majority of players will still go with at least Trent and Cancelo, if not Trent, Cancelo, James, Chilwell. I don't think many of these four fives are going to find their way into our teams. I think what is a shame, though, it probably means that none of the promoted teams' four or five defenders are going to get a look in, because you've got established players like Lewis Dunk and Tomiyasu and Ben White at 4.5 still. I'm just really surprised to see that. So that's the first thing. Now Az is back, I'm going to ask you. I've got the defender prices up, and one of the things I've just, you know, spoke about is the fact that I'm really surprised that established players like Dunk are 4.5. What do you think is the ploy there? I mean, I take it what they're trying to do is take our eyes off the wing backs and trying to convince us that you can go 5-4-5s, have a really good defence still, and not have to go Trent and Cancelo. Do you think that's the way they're going with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's some funny price in there, because like Dean and Cash are at 5. I was expecting them at 5.5. You know, yep. Dunk at 4.5, like you mentioned. And then there's a couple of weird, like Cody being 5.
Yeah, why is Cody 5 million?
I saw that and I was like,
Johnny's 4.5 and yeah. Cody's 5. Well, yeah, Cody's not going to get a sniff, is he there?
No, I can't.
So, ain't Norrie 4.5 as well.
Right? Generally speaking, though, I think they've done quite a good job with these. I think like they're making them, I think, you know, we're going to see 4 and 5 at the back much more viable this season. I think a lot of people are going to be targeting that fourth defender, and that's going to be like an 8 Norrie or a Dunk, because that's going to allow you, that's going to be your enabler for, because you can't have a 4-5 midfielder or striker. But the fact there is going to be a pool of 4.5 defenders to choose from, I think means that we might be able to get a few more of the heavy hitters. And I don't mind that, to be honest, because I think there's enough choice. It's not like when I saw Ben White, for example, was 4.5 and Tomiyasu, I was like, oh, Tomiyasu, everyone's just going to be on Tomiyasu. 4.5 Arsenal defender, he's going to be in everyone's team. But because there's other 4-5 options to consider, it's not quite as simple as that.
I'll put it to you that because they've made those defenders 4-5, that it's more likely we're going to get a 4 million defender playing every week that's going to be the go-to. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
They've only shown us one at the moment. That's Ramsey at Liverpool, the new signing.
The thing is, we're expecting that from a promoted team, probably. A 4 million normally comes from a promoted team. But I don't think we've... I mean, who are the best defensive team out of the three? Probably Forest. But
what I'm saying here is, right, normally the reserve players in good, solid teams are also 4 or 5. But because, like, say, let's take Brighton as an example. Like, your second string defenders to your first choice back four, I think, are more likely to be 4 million than they've ever been in previous seasons because Dunk is 4 or 5, right? Whereas before, Dunk would be 5 and your second string centre-backs would be 4 or 5. Now, I think there's a chance that second string centre-backs and second string full-backs in good teams, there'll be a few that'll be 4 million and there'll be an injury or something and one of those will suddenly be an ever-present and then we're going to have a 4 million defender in a solid team that's playing every week. I think that's more likely because they've lowered the price bar on those defenders. That's my concern because it only takes one. It only takes one 4 million defender to suddenly be a shoe-in. Everyone's going to be on him. And then it makes it even easier to go Haaland, Salah, Trent, Cancelo, Diaz.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, what you're basically saying is there's going to be more 4 million defenders next season.
No, I think they've lowered the bar on that lower tier defender to the point where I think there'll be more 4 million defenders who are on the threshold of breaking into the team.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, there's going to be more 4 million defenders. I don't know if they will do that. I mean, Veltman's in it. You take Brighton, for example. Veltman, I mean, he's not really first choice, but they're not going to make him 4 million.
Is he on here? Has he been named yet?
No, he hasn't been named. But he was. I mean, Duffy's going to be 4 again, but he is very much... Is he even still there? I don't even know if he's still with us, but... They're not going to make, if they make Veltman 4 million, for example, I think he would fit into the category of what you're saying.
He's not the same level as Dunk, for example. No, but let's look at the Brentford defence, for example, right? So they've got Rico Henry at 4-5. All their defence is 4-5, isn't it? Is there any Brentford defender? No, Kanos is 5 million because he's Kanos a wing back five. And play maybe. Yep. I think it's likely that one of their defenders will be 4 million and then we could find him in the first 11 and then... You know, they're the type of team I'm talking about. It's not going to happen for your Arsenals where the first choice is all going to be known. It's going to be for a lesser team.
I think it's more likely, though. We do get it. Sled, whoever his name was. He was the Brentford.
Yeah. I just worry the fact that they've just capped centre-backs at 4-5 a bit too much for me. I think there's a few here that I think should have been 5. I mean, Lamptey, for example, at 4-5, he could have it could be his breakout season this season. Right? He could be that player that you thought he was this season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I think there's quite a few players on this list who are maybe a little bit underpriced. You know, when you look at like Dunk, when you look at White and these kind of guys and Tomiyasu, I mean, you know, Tomiyasu and White being the same price. I mean, who's going to pick White over Tomiyasu? Thomas is clearly like superior to White. It's what, because Andy Slippers tweeted saying, you know, there kind of needs to be this bracket between 4.5 and 5 because someone like White isn't really a 4.5, but he's not really a 5 either. He kind of is a 4.7, 4.8 pick. And like, they're not going to do that FPL because they want to keep it simple and thingy. But that is the hard thing of pricing when you've got players who kind of fit between two price brackets and when it's tricky. I'm not too worried about the 4 million thing though, because I think defence is going to be so big for us next season that every slot is going to be so important.
And you're not going to have a 4 million defender?
Well, I probably am, but realistically, you know, a Brentford 4 million defender, is that really going to...
No, but it's always nice when you've got a 4 million defender that also plays that you can call on, right? That's what I mean.
I'm not worried about it.
If you've got a 4 million defender that plays, you can... Your third player, who's either a forward or a midfielder, more than likely a forward, can be a complete dead rubber, can be like a 4-5. Whereas if you haven't got a 4 million defender who's playing, you've got to have a forward around 5-5-5 who could come on the pitch for you, right?
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
I just think it's going to be less, like say a Lundstrom, maybe get a Lundstrom, for example, at 4. Well, that was a bigger deal because we had 3 at the back. Whereas now, if most of us are going to be playing 4 at the back, and then you've got a 4 million in Lundstrom, then you're playing five at the back just to play your 4 million. And that might put people off doing that because, I mean, it's a good first sub, don't get me wrong, but Lundstrom was a starter for everyone every week. And I just think people, then you're going to have to go five at the back. That's going to put some people off, and then there's a decision to be made. So I'm not too worried about it. I think the defender prices generally, apart from Cody, have been pretty good. Yeah. Down the budget end, I think premium wise they could have gone higher with Trent and Cancelo.
Oh God, totally. I mean, I would have put Trent at 8. I'd have put him at 8.5.
I'd have put him at 8.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's.
Cheers, by the way.
Yeah, cheers. I think he's going to be massively, massively up. Why? I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't go Trent and Cancelo. Because I mean, you'll see in a minute when I put the team up, you can easily.
There's absolutely no way you can go without them.
No, you can go Trent and Cancelo, and you can get a third one, right? You can get a third wing back, right? I mean, I think the team I'm going to show in a minute has cash in there at 5 million, but I can see where I can save another 0.5 and go a 5.5 defender. When we haven't got the Chelsea defenders in yet, I mean, if Chilwell comes in at 5.5 and James at 6, well, it's an absolute no-brainer. James could come in at 6, because you look at this and Diaz is at 6. So arguably, James could be 6 as well, based on the fact he missed a lot of games through injury. I hope so. I really hope so.
I think so.
Well,
yeah. I mean, it's the thing is, like, we talk about it and we kind of say, oh, you know, we've got the price wrong. But they haven't, because this is exactly what they want to create. They want people to have Trent and Cancelo in their sides. They don't want you to fill your teams up with Norris and guys. And, you know, this is always the trade-off with, you know, when we talk about it, we're always talking it from the position of we want the game to be as competitive and as good and as great as possible. But obviously you're then fighting another battle with the Premier League wanting to attract more people to play and keep interest. So, that, you know, I just want to make that clear that when we're talking about, we're not necessarily saying that FPL are like completely wrong on it, but if we were designing the game, if a hardcore player was on the game, I think the prices would look very different.
And I know more than anyone the tightrope you walk with that, right? They want people to be able to dip into the game, spend 100 million and get their favourite players. They don't want the new player to sit there and go, oh, I don't know who should I go for, Trent or should I go Cancelo? I can't have both. No, they want that. They want you to go, oh, I can have both. Brilliant.
And also, they're trying to attract new people to watch the Premier League, and a lot of them won't know who Ait Nouri is or Cody or Wyatt. And, you know, I know from experience playing, you know, when I'm trying to set someone up playing FPL who doesn't really watch much football, and they look at it and they go, oh, I'm going to have Bowings, he did well last year, and I'm going to have Salah, and then it gets to the final four or five spots, and they're just like, oh, no, auto-select. And that's kind of, you know, I think if you make it too difficult, you've got more spots of players that people don't want, and then they stop in the team, they just give it all up.
I know. I think the difficulty for them is there is now, no doubt about it, this very vocal, hardcore minority, which is us and other content creators and other Twitter accounts and people that are in the chat right now, people who do spaces after this at 11 o'clock at night, all the way through to 2 a.m, right? There's a hardcore out there, and we all want the game to be fun and a joy for all of us, right? We take it seriously. We're not ashamed to admit it. They can't design it for us, though. And that's the problem they've got. Like, they know that they're going to get some flack from us by doing what they've done. But they have to do what they've done because they have to grow the game. I totally, totally understand it. And we are never going to get what we want in that respect. It's a very, very difficult tightrope to walk. I think they could have done a bit better from what I've seen. And perhaps the keeper and defensive prices aren't the best highlight of that. We'll get onto the others in a minute. And that's what's disappointing. I think they could have done a bit better. You know, I'm not going to go in harder than that yet. I haven't finished my beer. Maybe I will in a minute. Cucurella. Talk to me about Cucurella, right? Cucurella. So that is the beer talking. What if he goes to the City? Blimey. Yeah. Well, it's game over, isn't it, in terms of the third defender
slot?
I mean,
at the moment, City are light at fullback, very, very light, you know. And I was saying to Sam yesterday, considering the amount of money they've spent on fullbacks, it's almost ridiculous that they can be. But Zinchenko's likely to leave. That leaves them with, you know, Ake, who can play at left back, and Cancelo and Walker and not much else. So they're going to buy a fullback. 100%. Cucurella is the obvious player because he's really good. Brighton aren't going to sell him for cheap. We'll get 40, 50 million for him. He's got 4 years on his contract or something like that. You know, and Bloom is a very good negotiator. So he's definitely not going to go for cheap. I think he will probably leave. At the moment, though, it's a shame because I look at Walker at five and I think that's not bad. You know, I'm expecting him to play most games at 5 million.
Not if Cucurella comes in.
But not if Cucurella, because if Cucurella comes in, that's going to see Cancelo move to right back and Cucurella probably starting or at least sharing minutes with Walker as well. At the moment, I don't like Cucurella at Brighton. I don't think he's worth the money. I'd rather have Dunk or Lamptey. He's been playing at centre back a bit for us. He doesn't seem to get the attacking returns. Don't really think he's an option.
No.
And I think if he moves to City, he's not an option either. Right. So great player, but no matter what happens to him, I wouldn't consider him for FPL.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking, because Forest signed Biakoni today, who's a young French fullback, and I was looking at data around him, and clearly Forest have born a money ball ploy with him because he is amongst defenders under 21 when he was under 20. He was right up there in terms of defensive attributes, attacking attributes, but right at the top of that metrics for players under 21 at the time was Cucurella. And City, we know, look at data. There's no doubt about it. They're looking at that and going, well, this guy's a top performer in terms of the way he gets forward and his defensive asset, his defensive abilities. And I don't have any doubt that City will sign him off the back of that because he was the standout performer amongst 21-year-old fullbacks in Europe.
He is undoubtedly an elite player. Like he is 23 years old.
23
as well.
Now, yeah.
Like he's just going to get better. His reading of the game is superb. I mean, you know, and again, it's sort of the end of the last season. You see like James dropping into centre back and that versatility and how important that is for Chelsea because they can play different systems. You know, I never thought Cucurella could play at centre back, for example, but it will give City another option. You know, they can play three at the back and play Cancelo and Walker as wing backs, for example. He's reading the game is excellent. His tackling's good. He's got great cross. He's just got so much like endless energy.
Yeah, and he the profile of a fullback or a wingback, he fits it perfectly, right?
He does.
And it's interesting because I was looking at Biakone and he also has that. He's nowhere near as strong as Cucurella going forward or defensively. He's still very strong compared to other under 21s, and he, like Cucurella, can play in a back three as well, right? So that's the profile now of players that managers want. They want a player who can be a wingback and attack, be strong defensively, and can fit into a back three. And Cucurella can do that, and that's why Pep will want him, I think.
He will, but he's gonna cost 40, 50 million, million pounds. And, you know, they've spent a lot of money already on Haaland, and Pep's always saying, oh, we don't have much money at City. It's really sad, but, you know, that's just the reality and all that. So, yeah, I do. I assume that money won't be an issue for them, but, you know, maybe if they... to me, the fullback has to be the priority for City. Mm. You know, the striker was and the fullback does. And if they get Cucurella...
And they've got Phillips.
I mean, this is what I mean, though. Like, their three priorities are getting a replacement for Fernandinho, who's obviously getting on a bit, getting the strike and getting the fullback. If they get Cucurella, Phillips and Haaland, Jesus Christ.
Well, Phillips is perfect as well because he can do what Fernandinho does, which is drop into the back three when he wants to, or back four whenever they play.
How can anyone compete with that? You're taking the best player.
Well, Liverpool can.
But they're the only ones. But even Liverpool, you know, for City to take the best player from three clubs in one transfer window for 150 million, I mean, Liverpool don't do that. Liverpool much... Well, you know, they got Alisson in, who was a big money signing and stuff. But
well, they did do that with Alisson and Van Dijk. He was the best player.
Well, yeah, true. They did that.
Diaz, he was the best. So they do the same.
This is kind of over a bit longer, right? For City in one window to swoop three clubs and three best players, that's kind of unheard of.
Chilling, isn't it? I mean, Liverpool, I think, will be able to challenge. Spurs might be able to. They've had a strong window as well and they're not finished yet because obviously that incredible wing-back Jed Spence will probably arrive at the White Lane as well very soon. But, you know, I think City and Liverpool, again, are far and away.
I think
the title are going to be between those two again. Maybe Spurs can finish.
If City get those three signings, they'll walk the league.
No chance. Liverpool are strong. Keeper prices, what do you make of them?
Yeah, they're okay so far. We've got a couple of decent 4.5s. I imagine Henderson's going to come in at 4.5 as well, just signed for Forest. So they're not going to put him at 5, are they? So, you know, Raya, Melier is interesting because he makes the saves and things. Sanchez. I mean,
it's going to be a 4-5 keeper, isn't it? For all of us, right? Because you've already got good options there with Raya, Sanchez, maybe Melier. Henderson will be a good option. Why would you go above that?
No, I mean, the only I mean, someone like Leicester, Schmeichel, you know, without Europe, if Leicester can look a bit more solid defensively, could be an option. Alisson at 5.5 is a really good price. I like seeing these premium keepers coming down to like, because at 6, you're never going to consider
them. Yeah, but it's the Liverpool slots, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it is, but like, at least it's like, oh, Alisson's a good price. Maybe that could be a factor for us. You know, for just think, maybe there's like mass rotation with the 5 sub rule in that Liverpool lineup.
You might be on there.
And you just think, you know, I'm just going to get the security and just go for Salah. And maybe. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying maybe.
Do you think Edison will be 5.5?
I think he has to be, right? If Alisson's 5.5 and drop down, I think Edison will be.
Well, in that case, I mean, you look at City and you think, well, maybe I can't. Maybe Cancelo's going to be some rotation.
Exactly. I think Liverpool are the anomaly because there isn't any other clubs that have as many options as they do. Both fullbacks, you know, 3 attackers that you could pick from. Nunes now the forward. As well. But City, it's trickier because, you know, Foden, Mahrez, Grealish, you know, these guys all haven't really done it, and Haaland's the obvious choice. So Haaland, Cancelo and Edison.
That would make us think, wouldn't it? If Edison's 5.5, that would definitely make us think in terms of redistributing budget.
Alisson was the top scoring goalkeeper last season. Mm. He's been pushed down to 5.5. So there's no reason why
Edison you're right. But I guess it's that gap. What is the points gap going to be between Edison and Alisson? And the best 4.5, is it going to be 50, 60 points? Probably not.
No.
Because one or two of them will push within 20, 30 points of those two.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's the same with the 5 and the 4.5s. I don't think there's going to be a 5 that massively outscores some of these. I think Raya at 4.5 is excellent value. I'm expecting, you know, Brentford to do well next season and for him, you know, to be right up there. So I don't even think there's 0.5 difference between Ramsdale and Raya, for example. I'm definitely going with 4.5.
Okay. All right. Midfielders. It gets interesting now because this is the position where you know, we're going to focus and we're probably likely to line up with 5 active midfielders. We're either going to go 3-5-2 or we're more likely 4-5-1. 4-5-1, I think, will be many people's default formation of choice, because when we get to the forwards, you'll see why. Salah at 13, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, they could have pushed him higher and you know, made a decision. I mean, there's a 5 million difference between him and Diaz.
That's crazy, isn't it? What do you make of that?
Well, I think Diaz is underpriced. I would have had him at 9.95, something like that. I think he's almost a no-brainer to go in with Diaz and Salah.
Yeah, I mean, my immediate reaction was, oh, that's great, because now we can make that choice between Salah and Diaz, and it really is meaningful to go Diaz. You can do a lot with the 5 million. That was before I looked at it and thought, actually, I can have both Salah and Diaz.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I mean.
That's the problem.
I think maybe if you'd made Salah a little bit more, that could have helped. But I think, I don't know. I think it's all right. I think it's probably about where he should be. I don't like De Bruyne at 12. I think that's poor pricing.
Yeah, the mistakes here are, for me, Trent and Cancelo needed to be 0.5 higher,
yep,
so that you couldn't go Salah and Diaz and still have those two wing backs. But as you'll see when my team that I've mocked up, you can. You want to lock in Cancelo and Trent, right? And then you want to see, can I get Salah and Haaland? Yes, I can. Can I get Cancelo, Trent, Salah, Haaland and Diaz? Surely not. Oh, I can. And that's the problem, right? If Cancelo and Trent had been 0.5 higher and Haaland would have been higher, then you couldn't get Salah and Diaz as well as those three. The fact you can, that's the mistake for me.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, like, I guess the argument is, you know, we're kind of saying it like you have to have these players and you don't necessarily. Again, it's this kind of part of this like optimal strategy. I mean, I think Trent is so lowly priced that there's no way you can look at it and think, I don't need him. Like, he is just he's the first name. Like, there's going to be a bit of debate about stuff because you've got Son there as well and De Bruyne, and you think maybe I could just go Diaz. And I can understand why people are thinking about that. But if I see any team about Trent in at 7.5, it's just stupid. There's no logic to it at all. So yeah, I think there is, you know, the way the prices are, I mean, you could go for De Bruyne over Salah, for example, and double up with City attack.
Yeah, it's but not, he's
a
terrible
not. Option.
De Bruyne's not going to be on pens, is he? They haven't factored that in. Haaland's going to be on pens. So De Bruyne can't be 12 million as a result of that, surely.
I think they had to make De Bruyne less than Haaland.
Yeah, they did. This is where the mistakes come out, I think. They seem only small ones. It might only be like 0.5 here, 0.5, but it all adds up to mean that it becomes too easy to settle on this template of established players, right? And I guess, like we said 15 minutes ago. I guess that's what they wanted. They want new players to go, that Diaz looks good. Oh, but I can't have him on Salah. Oh, I can have him on Salah. They want that, right? They don't care what necessarily what we feel about that. They want to bring in the new players who want to have those exciting Premier League players. And I get it, but it's just unfortunate because it would only want a small tweak and it might have been more of a dilemma.
Yeah, I mean, De Bruyne should have been 11. And I think he would have been if Wolves hadn't just said, do whatever you want in this game and have four goals. You know, if De Bruyne,
that one game.
I think that one game is what probably stuck an extra million on De Bruyne's tag, because I just can't see any reason in, you know, no. I think 11-5 for Haaland. I mean, I thought it'd be 12. I think 11-5.
Yeah, he should be 12.
He should be 12, but then I can see why they've done it, because like Lukaku came back to the league and, you know, there is this kind of Bundesliga like worry. I mean, I can't see him struggling in any way, but I think 11-5 is okay, but you have to price De Bruyne accordingly. And it would be a surprise, I think, if De Bruyne outscored Haaland next year. And yet he's more money.
If De Bruyne held pens, then I think it would be close.
Yeah.
But because we expect Haaland to have them, the only caveat could be the five subs rule. But if anything, that's going to affect De Bruyne more than Haaland, or certainly as much. Because De Bruyne won't finish games with five subs available to Pep, will he? Because they'll get to a point in a game where they go, well, we can afford to take De Bruyne off now. And so he'll get less minutes, surely. Right? And they haven't thought about that, and they haven't thought about the pens. And they thought it was not going to matter.
Yeah, and I just think, like, we're going to see Son probably coming in at 11 and Kane, I don't know, 11, 5, 12, something like that.
But if Kane's more than Haaland, that's a mistake.
I think we are going to see people going for or trying to make a kind of Salah, Haaland, Son team. And I'm not saying it will work, but, you know, maybe people will be looking at that. And I think you could almost do that if Son's at 11, or at least make something that at least some way indicates shows a decent team.
I don't know if you could do that.
You're not going to do that with De Bruyne at 12. I just don't see how De Bruyne is going to be a factor for anyone in game week one.
He's not.
If he's 11, I think there might be ways to make it work, but not.
Everyone's going to go with Haaland, aren't they? That's the other thing. It's like, I don't think you're going to have two City attackers because of the five sub situation, because of the fact that there will be rotation, even with Haaland, perhaps, right? There'll be games where they don't have to play Haaland because they can beat that opponent with a force nine or whatever, right? We don't know yet. We'll have to see. But there's a chance there'll be rotation with the top teams. That applies to Salah as well, right?
I mean, maybe, you know, it's the wrong attitude. And maybe there is, if Haaland's going to have this incredibly high ownership, a bit like Werner a few years ago, maybe the safer option, because he's proven in the Premier League, the De Bruyne option at 12, maybe that is the more sensible play to start with him.
Had he been 11, I'd say, yeah. Yeah, that's not the thing. They've missed that opportunity, like, because it could be. Because he's 12, I'm probably, if I'm going to bet against Haaland, I'll do it with Son. I won't do it with De Bruyne.
If De Bruyne was 11, I would be sitting here now saying, oh, I think that's an interesting one, because you've got the proven assets and stuff, but not at 12.
So that extra 1 million has just tipped it, where if I'm going to go against Haaland, it won't be for De Bruyne, it'll be for either Son or Kane.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I will say, though, other than De Bruyne in this midfield list, I think they've done well. I think they've got a lot of these prices bang on. We wanted to see the likes of Sancho coming down a lot. They come down to 7-5. Yep. Rashford at 6-5. I would never have considered Rashford, but 6-5.
It's blimey. Could be incredible, couldn't it?
Exactly.
It's unlikely, but it could be.
It's interesting. And then I think, you know, they've got Foden right. They've kept him at 8. Grealish has come down to 7. I think that's interesting. Even like Bernardo Silva, you know, they could have hiked him up because he obviously had that good first half of the season, but they haven't. Mahrez at 8. That's a little bit. They could have had him at 9, but they haven't. They put him at 8. I think a lot of these players is right. I mean, Saka at 8, I think that's right. And then you've got like Martinelli at 6. Do you want to save that 2 million over him? I like a lot of these players.
I agree. I just think the De Bruyne thing could have been avoided. I think I think Bruno could be 9-5. Fernandes could be 9-5. But I think largely here, I look across the list, I think Foden, I guess they've given you the Foden-Mahrez debate there, haven't you? I think you're going to come down on Mahrez there, depending on starts, aren't you? It's going to be very difficult, isn't it, with the City midfielders? There's no doubt with a five sub rule, we're going to have to see the lay of the land before. We can't commit to any other City player other than Haaland, I don't think, until we see how Pep's going to use the five subs.
I am interested in Grealish.
Are you?
I was at the start of last season, but it all depends on another player who I think they price well, which is Sterling. Because if Sterling moves to Chelsea, that's a really interesting one.
Absolutely. He could be a template breaker, Sterling. Definitely. He has that potential. It, depending on whether he gets the move, what his role will be, right? Because he could be the most direct source of goals. If they don't sign a striker and Havertz plays the nine, I'd still back Sterling to outscore Havertz in terms of goals.
Mm.
Even if he's playing one of the wide two roles, he will outscore Havertz. So,
yeah,
he could be the template breaker. And I hope with so much of my will and fibre that is the case, like that we get some of these players and the outcomes break the template. Because I do fear that once all the prizes are out and the game is launched, the community template, the one on Twitter, is going to be pretty consistent.
No, it is. But it always is. And it's kind of our job to try and work out ways in which we can block it. And again, that, not to keep moaning about Trent, but that's the problem. If you make Trent 8-5, then you might see some teams without Trent and think, oh, actually, they've used that money well. But I don't think you can use that money well because there's not enough of it to spread around. I mean, one player I don't like on this list is Trossard at 6-5.
Yeah, a bit much.
I don't know why they priced him at 6-5. He was playing at left wing back for us. Towards the end of the season. I think they could have made him six in line with like Harrison.
Martinelli or Trossard. Martinelli all day, right? Because Martinelli could be a regular star. One of Martinelli or Smith Rowe, I think they're presuming is going to be rotation and neither of those players are going to be established in the first 11. But there's a chance one of them will be. And if they are, there's no way a player like Trossard gets a look in over one of those Arsenal players.
I like the price of the Arsenal mids, actually. I think Saka at 8 is you know, you could. I think he's expensive, but he's the guaranteed, you know, best player that you can go for. And then all the others being around 6-5, I think is nice because it's a little bit tempting. You've got the risk of the rotation, but you save a bit of money, but they could be really good. Jesus will be interesting, see what he comes in at. If he comes in at 8-5, for example, he's another player.
Forward or mid? He's going to be a forward.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We'll get to them in a minute. Is Daniel Podolski going to end up on my team for another season? 5-5? Surely not.
I mean, Neto's there, isn't he, at 5-5? He's already the darling of the community, isn't he? He's going to be in pretty much every draft. And for good reason. I mean, he's likely to play up front, out of position. They've got Leeds and Fulham in their first two games. I really like Neto and he's the enabler. I think he's the obvious. I think they should have made him six.
Why did they make him 5-5?
Five is too cheap.
I'm worried. I mean, I think they're going to make Brennan Johnson a forward. Right? I think as a midfielder, Brennan would probably be 6 million in this list. And he'd be really good at 6 million because he may well still be on pens because he probably is still going to be our best penalty taker. And out of all the promoted players, I know that Mitrovic and Solanke come up with previous in the Premier League and Brennan doesn't have it. But out of those three players, which of those three players is going to grow over the season? Which of those three players come the end of the season are we going to say progress the most? I've no doubt it's going to be Johnson. He could be anything by the end of the season. He could be a £50 million player by the end of the season. He excites me, but as a forward, and if he comes in at 6 million, which I think he might well do, I don't know if he's going to get as much of a look in. If he'd have been a midfielder at 6 million, he would have been a really exciting prospect.
And based on what you've shown, he's going to be poo, right?
What do you mean?
Well, the reverse out of position. He's going to be a forward playing in midfield or as a midfielder.
He is. I think he's going to play in a front two, but he's going to veer out to the right as he did last season. Yeah. I think we're going to play with one central striker and Johnson playing with him. We tend to play more on this when I talk about it in other pods. Our two forward players quite wide and allow the 10 to come into the into the middle. And so, as a rule, our two forwards play quite wide and Brennan will veer out to the right anyway because he's naturally more a winger, really. But I think he'll still do well as a forward, but he need to be, I'd really like him to be 5-5 as a forward, but I can't see it. Let's look at the forwards now. This is a position that is really under scrutiny, isn't it? I mean, apart from Haaland and Kane, maybe Nunes, right, is going to be a player that is a factor next season. I'm going to start by asking you, what do you think of the Jota move? You know, no longer a midfielder, now a 9 million forward. I'm not really surprised. I think 9 million's pricey, though, because do you not think that Darwin Nunes is going to be the first choice?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'm seeing people already saying they're going to go for Jota to start. And I think he might well start the season. Maybe Nunes needs a bit of time to get up to speed and things, and he might start. But really, I think that front three is going to be Diaz, Salah and Nunes. And Jota kind of filling in as he has done before, you know, kind of if and when he's needed. But, I mean, he is a forward. Like, there's no doubt about it. I think that is completely the right move to push him up to that forward spot. It's interesting they've done that with him, and it's going to be really interesting what they do with Son. Because I see Son as exactly the same kind of thing.
He'll be a mid.
I just think if he's a mid and he's playing in this, he's spearheading that attack in the same way Jota does. I just think that's a...
He'll be a mid because they can't have Kane and Son both as forwards.
No, I know. But, I mean, it's just...
Shame.
Surely there has to be a consistent strategy to it. And I just think if Son isn't pushed to a forward, I just think it's a bit of a joke, really.
Yeah, I think...
Watkins? Telly Watkins, you've got on the screen.
Oh, I don't know why I've got that. Ollie. I don't know where Delhi came from.
I like Delhi Watkins.
Yeah, well, maybe that was a champ man player I had. it's Ollie Watkins, of course. I'm thinking of Adebola, aren't I? Delhi Adebola, what a player he was. 7-5, yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed with the forward pricing, to be honest. I mean, I think like Jimenez at 7, Nketiah at 7, Tony at 7. I think
Tony at 7 is good.
Yeah, I think you could have left him at 6-5, though. I think the problem is we're all going to be putting our money into midfield and we're going to go one of Kane or Haaland, I think, maybe Nunes. But you're probably going to go one big striker and then you're going to go, do I want to spend 6-5 on another forward? Probably not. I'm probably going to go a 6 or a 5-5 and then probably have a 4-5 forward on the bench. Probably, right, is the way that most are going to go because they're going to play 4-5-1. I think. Do you not think?
I like Tony at 7. I think they've got Leicester, United, Fulham, Everton, Palace. You know, Leicester, we're not sure what we're going to get. United, they can't keep goals out. Fulham, Everton. I think that's a good first four for Tony. That gives you the option to then move to Mitrovic potentially when the fixtures get a little bit better for him. I think 6.5 is again the right price for him. Yeah, I mean, again, though, you're right. I mean, you know, Ings at 7 is interesting, but we don't know whether he's going to...
Bamford at 7-5.
Bamford at 7-5 is a complete farce.
Why isn't he 7?
And I think Jimenez at 7 is a farce as well, with Neto 6-5. At 5-5.
Yeah,
so absolutely. I think you should have brought him down to 6-5. But yeah, I mean, well, one player on this list I'm going to bang on about, I imagine, all season is Dennis Undav for Brighton.
Right.
He is an absolute prospect. So Tony Bloom owned another club in Belgium and Undav played for them. He was player of the season, got 24 goals or something like that. And Bloom, you know, brought him over from there to play. He's the next level up from Mopay, Welbeck. I don't know if he's going to start the season, like first choice. I can guarantee he'll be our first choice striker once the season gets going. So I think 5-5 for him. If he can put the ball away... Which he sounds confident, but so did Lacardia.
Yeah,
but I don't see him as a Lacardia. He's a very good player, and he likes to play in a two. He's a bit like Ronaldo, but you know, like, he's a player who prefers to play with another player alongside. He had a really good partnership with the other striker there. So again, it depends what system we play, but I think he's going to play up front. We want a Welbeck, maybe Trossard will play next to him. I think Mopay is going to be shunned next season. Hopefully. But I think if he's playing in a two up front for us for 5-5, he's the one.
Well, I'd be interested. Obviously, Awoniyi and Johnson, I'm looking to see what prices they come in at. If Johnson's 6, which I suspect he will Awoniyi be a 6 as well? I mean, don't know. I mean, I would have thought that Johnson would be higher than Awoniyi, given that Johnson's proven in the EFL and Awoniyi's new from the Bundesliga and has the Bundesliga tax to pay. Be interesting. I think they'll both be 6, which would be a shame. I'd like one of them to be 5-5, but we'll see about that. I think, you know, Gelhardt, I think a 5-5 striker will be in most teams, if not a 5-minute striker. So I think Gelhardt will be popular because he's, you know,
he's
established.
He's not going to play, though, is he, if Bamford's
no,
back?
No, but he'll be popular as a player that we can put on our bench, I think. I think, like, if you're going to have a 5-5 anywhere, it won't be in midfield. It'll be.
I strongly recommend you go Undav. I wouldn't suggest starting with Undav at the start of the season and having him in your first 11 because I think Potter historically is a bit slow and he might take a bit of time to adjust the system and all that kind of stuff. But I would bet, you know, anything on Undav breaking into that first team pretty quickly. He'd be the one that I'd have.
We'll see where Solanke comes in as well. He might be 5-5. I doubt it. I think he'd be 6-2.
I know he got 28 goals. I don't 29. Rate him. I just don't rate him. I don't know. And I don't rate Bournemouth, to be honest. Sorry, Bournemouth fans. I mean, a lot of it is ignorance. I don't know too much about them, but at the same time, I just think they're going to struggle.
Yeah. Any team that comes up, you think they're going to struggle, right? I think that's the default. And you know, they're going to have to show a lot in the first few weeks for any of Forest, Fulham and Bournemouth to convince us that they're not going to struggle. But
the league is strong. The league is strong this season. And I think the three promoted teams, in Leeds are going to be
Brentford, Southampton, they're going to be. I mean, I think Forest are coming up and we're going to be in that, obviously in the bottom three group. We've got to try and get into the group above, which will be Southampton. It will be Brentford. Could be Wolves. Brentford, could be Leeds.
I think Brentford could kick on next season. Southampton, I agree. They need a, I don't know what they need. They need an overhaul, really, don't they? Mm.
They do. Yeah. I mean, they're a good team. They play attractive football, but the league is getting better and better and they're not moving. They're not moving at the same pace, are they? That's the trouble. They're not developing as great. And they lose Ward-Prowse, which they might do. I hope they don't for their sake. Then it's going to be a big problem for them, I think.
Yeah.
Replacing a player like that is difficult. Okay. I put a team together just made up of players that we know the prices of, right? So not even, is it, how many teams have we had? Have we had 10 teams yet? I guess we have, right? We've had 10 teams.
Yeah, we've had 10.
So we're halfway, right? So only
we must have had more than that. We've had 5 a day. We've had 15.
Oh, have we? Okay.
Have we?
No, not that many. No,
Saturday. No, sorry.
There's only two days of prices.
It feels like
wishing the summer away.
We've had
so 10, yeah. This is the team I put together of players that we know the prices of, right? Sanchez in goal, Cash, Cancelo, Trent, midfield, Odegaard, Neto, Ramsey, Luis Diaz, Salah, up front, Mopay and Haaland. Now, the only reason Mitrovic isn't in for Mopay is because FPL team didn't have Fulham and Mitrovic at 6-5 because they predicted he was 7.
Did
but
they?
If you throw Mitrovic in instead of Mopay, this is not a bad team, right? So go through it again. Sanchez, Cash, Cancelo, Trent, Odegaard, Neto, Ramsey, Luis Diaz, Salah, Mitrovic, Haaland, a bench of Meslier, Johnny, Dunk, Gelhart. Now, if you took Meslier and turned him into a 4 million keeper, which I'm sure I'm going to do once there's a 4 million keeper available, if you take Johnny or Dunk and turn him into a 4 million defender, which I'm sure I'm going to do, I've suddenly got another million to spend. So I can go Odegaard to a 7 million midfielder or Odegaard to a 6-5 midfielder. I could go Mitrovic to Tony. So suddenly, I don't think this looks bad at all, considering that, you know, Neto's 5-5, Ramsey's 5-5. I expect someone else, I don't know, it could be, you know, it could be a billion if Bournemouth could get 10 goals next season. You just don't know, right? There'll be other 5-5 midfielders to come in, but it's a strong enough bench as well. Considering that I know I can get a million off that bench and put it elsewhere as well, I think that's a pretty strong team. I've got Cancelo and Trent, the two wingbacks. I've got Salah and Haaland, rotation captains. I've got Luis Diaz, who looks underpriced. It's a strong team. I've got Mitrovic, right? or that Mitrovic could be Johnson. I think Johnson's going to be 6 million, right? So I probably will have Johnson for 6 million. That'll give me a 1.5 to spend elsewhere. So it's a bit easy, isn't it? I didn't even have to think about that.
I think the issue is, I mean, you could even do Mopay to like Reece James, for example, if he comes in at 6-5, which we're expecting. I mean, I guess the issue is you've got two 5.5 mids, which if you're talking about price points, like Joe likes to do, you're kind of limiting yourself with that. But then, like you said, you could take a million out of Gelhart and upgrade one of those.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because I think last season we saw the 6.5 million midfielder bracket, so many players. Bina, Saka, you know, even like Barnes for Leicester, there's loads of them. Whereas I think this season, we're seeing more of those players move to the 8 bracket. And I think the 6.5 and under is harder. And I quite like, for example, I like Sancho at 7.5. I like Coutinho at 7, who we didn't mention, but I think that's a good price for him. And so I just think loading up with, I think having one 5.5, and I think Neto's perfect for that, is good. But then I want to hit that kind of 7 million bracket, so I'd probably tweak things a little bit.
Yeah,
but
I can do that, right? If I go Meslier down to a 4, Johnny down to a 4, or Dunk down to a 4, then I can go Odegaard to a 7.
Yep.
Right, so that gets me that 7 million price bracket in there. Yeah, I mean, I guess it gets more difficult if I want to get James in here over Cash, and James is 6'5". But then I've got to probably not have Diaz. So then it's, that's probably the first choice I've got to make, right? I'm making a difficult choice about not having Diaz when I've already got Cancelo, Trent, Salah and Haaland. It's not that bad, is it? I just think that, you know, they've succeeded in enabling new players to get exciting players in their team, like players that they've heard of. I don't think they've succeeded in making us as seasoned players have many problems with their initial starting lineup.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I mean, I guess that's
well, they don't care.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I guess that's where you need the template to hit the ground running straight away, and maybe it doesn't and other options emerge and then it's got to change. I mean, it's pretty similar to the team. I put together a team using FPL team, which was, it wasn't using all of, I had a bit more lenient, a bit more flexibility than you because I just looked at players in general. But I mean, the team I put together was Raya, James, Trent, Cancelo, Perisic, who, if he's a defender at 6 million, it's going to be
going to be strong. Wow, that's an amazing back four, right?
Yeah.
What have you got the rest of the team?
And then Salah, Diaz, Odegaard, so just that 6.5 option, and then Haaland, Tony and Johnson up front.
That's very good.
So there's, if and then it's a weak bench, don't get me wrong, but I just wanted to see if I could put an 11 together like that. And I mean, that's pretty strong, right? There's no real weakness on there. You know, if you move Odegaard down to Neto, for example, you've then got a million to strengthen the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you've got to play Neto every week, but it might be that you want to. Right?
Yeah, because I mean, even if Perisic, you know, maybe he's a mid, or they do make him 2 or something, then yeah, that could just be Chilwell at six. I think four at the back will definitely be the way I go. And then, you know, you've got Cash in there at five. I think he's, with the fixtures Villa have got to start this season, I think he's great value. I don't think it's going to be difficult to make a team, a decent looking team, when the game launches at all.
No, I don't. And I guess that's what they're going for. Okay, one question for you. I mean, we probably should knock off soon, but I could talk forever.
Two and a half hours.
Salah or Haaland, who's the one you're most likely to lose if you had to lose one?
There's absolutely no way I'm going without Salah for Fulham in the first week. There's just no way.
Well, okay. I'll challenge you there, because if you go without Salah, you can have Diaz and Nunes.
I don't trust either of them to captain.
Right.
And Fulham.
Yeah, but you got Haaland. So
yeah, but way at West Ham, it's not easy. I think he might take a little while to really get going. There's absolutely no way I'm going without Salah against Fulham. No way. And I think if you go for Diaz and you captain him, you're going to have to get lucky, very lucky.
You do think then there's going to be a big gap in output between Diaz and Salah?
Yeah.
I mean, despite Salah, arguably last 12 games, once Diaz came in, he looked a better player than Salah. He outperformed him in many games in terms of performance level.
Yeah, but not in terms of points. I mean, that's the thing. I still for Diaz to get close to Salah, he's going to have to be Mane Mark II. And Mane was all about goals.
He's got that potential, but
I don't know. We need to wait and see. I at the moment, I don't think Diaz is going to get 250 points.
But crucially, Mane was never 8 million.
No, well, that's true.
There was never a 5 million gap between Mane and Salah, was there?
But it doesn't matter about his price. Ignoring the price, it's purely about, do you trust it to captain him? If he's 8 million, 15 million, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't trust Diaz captain over Salah. The thing is, it's game week one. It's a newly promoted team against arguably the best attacking side in the league. Just get the best player in the league and captain him in that week. Okay. I just don't think you need to mess around with it.
I get it. Okay, right. Do you not think though the five sub rule will affect the output of players like Salah and Haaland and De Bruyne? You know, the players that we've come to trust because they always deliver. When you give the likes of Klopp and Pep five subs and you give them the squad size that they've got, let's not forget that on the bench of Liverpool is going to be Firmino and Jota. Surely they're going to come on, right? Mm. So in every game Liverpool play, two of the front three are going to come off. Now, at what time do they come off? They might only come off on the 85th minute. But they might not. Salah's going to lose minutes to this five sub ball, no doubt, right? So is he not going to lose output to the five sub ball?
Because everyone will.
X minute, yeah, I know everyone will, but we're not spending 13 million on everyone, are we?
No. So what you're saying is maybe this is the time to spread your money around.
Possibly. Well, we don't know yet, but there is a chance that the five sub rule might actually mean Salah at 13 million is too much. Like, they've actually should have brought him down because of the five sub rule, because Klopp will spare him more often.
No.
You don't think so?
No. Like, Klopp isn't going to mess around with Salah too much. Not if you want to win the league and challenge. You've got to keep your best players on the pitch for most of the time. I think the more the question is there a huge difference between Nunes, Diaz and Jota? They're going to be the ones rotated. Salah's the best player in the league.
Mm.
He might get subbed off 5-10 minutes earlier than maybe normal, but he's got 80 minutes to do what he wants. No, I don't think so. I mean, you talk about Haaland, for example. I know we're all expecting Haaland to miss minutes. No manager last year made less subs than Pep. So is five subs going to suddenly change?
He said in a rather chilling way, you think I'm a genius now? Wait till next season with five subs is what he said. He said that. He told us, he warned us. By the way, Slippers is in the chat. Good evening, Slippers. What's he doing? Why isn't he making a video? It's like 10:15 on a Saturday night and he's honestly, just sitting in our chat like some lazy YouTube loafing about. I bet you Raptor and Focal are making videos. Now you better watch himself, I'm telling you. Him and his 300,000 subs or whatever he's got these days. Welcome, Andy. I don't know. I mean, I think it's an unknown, isn't it? The five sub thing is an interesting new mechanic that might yet affect our FBL seasons more than we think. We don't know, right? I'm purely speculating, but I do wonder whether, you know, Luke said X-Mins is the crucial variable now. That's the one we've got to watch. That's the one that we've got to base our decisions on. And X-Mins is going to change as a result of five subs, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, but every player is going to have their X-Mins reduced. So does it actually matter in general anyway? I don't know. I mean, I think it makes someone like Tony, for example, more appealing in that kind of...
Yeah, you know, I think Kane, you'd think.
Well, yeah, right? the talisman theory, I think, is stronger. I mean, I think it's a bit different for... You've got to think about who those talismans are. I mean, for City, it's going to be Haaland and De Bruyne. Haaland's had the injury issues. So is De Bruyne, to be fair.
Yes, they're both going to lose minutes, those two.
Yeah.
There's no way... How many 90 minutes is Haaland going to get? Barely any, I wouldn't have thought.
But Spurs, for example, Son. I mean, Richarlison coming in. We haven't talked about Richarlison at all.
Yeah.
But that kind of ruins a lot. Yeah. I think that is a big one because I don't think Richarlison coming in affects the front three of Spurs. I think that stays as Son, Kane and Kulusevski. But it means options. Kulusevski can drop to wing back. Son can come off earlier. Richarlison can come in. I mean, how many games is Richarlison going to start next season? He's not going to be happy if he starts like 10, 12 games. He's going to get 20 games, 25 games, I'd imagine. And that means they're going to have to drop one of Kulusevski and Son. So yeah.
Son and Kulusevski are going to lose minutes, aren't they, all over the shop?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's where the five sub thing again. Mm. I think if there's not five subs, I wonder if Richarlison is bought. Maybe
probably
I know
not.
They need. I know they need that replacement for Kane, and they need that things. But with the five sub rule, he knows he's going to play more.
Well, I mean, the fact they've gone to Richarlison and not another centre forward, right? Because I don't think Richarlison is a centre forward. What Richarlison gives you is someone who can come in for Kane when Kane is injured, but also someone that could come on for Kulusevski and Richard.
And that's
Son.
What I think. That's
so
what
he,
I think.
He's a versatile forward, which gives you that player you can use with the five subs to rest players. Right?
That's what I think.
Which they lose if they let, I presume they've let Moura go now. I don't actually know if Moura's left yet. Has he left yet? I don't think so, but Bergwijn hasn't left either, but both those two are expected to leave.
Yeah.
So they're going to lose that player that was often brought on for Son. Richarlison gives you that player. He can play anywhere across the front three, kind of arguably. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it remains to be seen. It's whether or not we factor in the five subs in our start with our initial lineup. Probably be a mistake to do that. We've probably got to adapt and see. And probably the wild card would be used to adapt accordingly, right? But I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, Pep and Klopp are going to have many more options on the bench, and they'd be mad not to use them. They'd be mad not to use the five subs, surely.
Well, it's the biggest reason why so many managers didn't want the five subs to come in.
Yeah.
Because you look at Spurs and, you know, getting Richarlison to basically be a squad player. You know, look at Jota's going to carry on as playing a squad player. I mean, actually, City don't actually have a huge amount of depth. which is interesting. And I think it's why Pep doesn't make too many changes, because I think other than Mahrez, I mean, if Sterling goes, for example, City haven't really got that many options. You know,
they've got young players. They've got Palmer, for example.
Well, exactly.
Now will get minutes, right? Who wasn't before? Right?
They've got plenty of young players, but young players aren't normally the one when, you know, Pep's chasing game or wants to hold on to a game. When do you bring on a young? You bring on a young player when you're comfortably winning a match.
Yeah, well, they will be in those scenarios.
If they're comfortably winning a match and Haaland's already got two or three goals, then
well, it depends how you define comfortably winning. Like 2-0 with 20 minutes to go in your city is probably enough where you can go, I can take Haaland on off and bring Palmer on.
Yeah, but is that a problem?
My 11.5 striker getting 70 minutes every week, do I? Maybe he can still deliver in that. But if X-Mins is crucial, we've got to consider it.
As though I'm more worried about a team like Spurs, in which I kind of see a lot of those players as being, you know, I mean, Son is their best player, but he comes off early. Mm. Kulusevski, you know, the wing back, all that kind of, there's a lot of flux there. Liverpool, there's flux. City, I just think because they don't have the options, I think I'm just not too worried. I'm not too worried about Haaland. I'm not as worried as you, I don't think.
Well, we have got all summer to... I say, we've got a month.
Only a month.
We've only got a month. It's great to see some familiar names in chat. We saw Andy Legomani's dropped in now, legend of the FBL community.
Absolutely.
Foka was in earlier. It's brilliant to be back, isn't it? And seeing the activity on the timeline now, we've got prices out and people are putting teams together. You know, it's a nonsense to deliberate too much at this point because there's a lot of transfer activity still to take place. I mean, Forrest have got to sign about 10 more players yet. So, you know,
I am worried about Forrest.
Losing Spence,
losing Spence, losing, you know, the loan signings. You've signed one striker so far and you've got maybe another one coming in. It's always a worry when a promoted team comes up and then has to have a bit of an overhaul. I mean, look at Fulham a few years ago when they
Villa did it though. Villa did it.
Well, just about. They only just about stayed up.
Yeah, but I think we'll be all right. I think that the way we play, the system we use, and the fact that I trust in Cooper and I trust the backroom staff as well, and the players we're signing and players we're after. I think the 10 is the important signing. The 10 is crucial. I want it to be Gibbs White. If it's Gibbs White, then I'm being far more confident we'll survive. But I think that we are going to have a go. Right? We're not going to come up and do what Norwich did. Right? Mm. We are going to come up and we are going to play our football. We're going to play the way we want to play. We are comfortable not having the ball, and that is crucial in the Premier League because we're not going to have possession. We're going to have to give up possession and counter, and we're going to have players in a Wamney. Oh, I can't pronounce his name. I've got to learn to say Awoniyi and Johnson, who have got pace and they can hurt defences. I think very much we've got to look at Brentford and their Tony and Mbeumo up front. Tony and Mbeumo have got to practice that. We've got Awoniyi and Johnson. I think Awoniyi and Johnson could be as good, if not better, than Tony and Mbeumo. It's about the 10 low. They had Eriksen and that's what saved them. We've got to get a player of that kind of quality to feed our front to, and I don't know if we'll be able to, and that's where we'll struggle, I think. But we'll see. I mean, so much more to talk about. I'm so excited to be back. One thing I want to mention before we go is Fest. You going to come to the pre-season Fest? That's because you missed the last one.
Yeah, of course I'll definitely be there.
Fifth of August, deadline day. There's a game that day as well. Last time we did Fest, which was the first one, a deadline. It was so exciting because we had the countdown on stage. Arsenal Brentford, we all had our teams and we were all like debating last minute transfers in a room with 200 other FBL managers. And it was great. And we're going to do that again, all over again on the 5th of August, same venue in London, Waterloo. Tickets are £20. Come along because there'll be lots of names in the community there, but also other managers that we've never met before, that aren't in the Twitter community. I say the community like it's only Twitter. It's not, right? There's communities everywhere now in FBL, people meeting up in pubs all over the country, in other countries as well. It's great to see that FBL is becoming a more social thing, isn't it? Out of lockdown, that's great to see.
100%. And we touched on it last episode, you know, things like Game Week 39 and the different events and Nina's
doing FBL meets.
There really is so much now going on with these things. And Fest is great because it's, you know, massive, and that's when you really get a sense of how big the scope is of everything. So yeah, I say every time, if you're worried that you're going to come and it'll be really awkward and you won't be able to talk to anyone, it's not at all. You'll be talking about people, you know, it's game week one. You'll be, you know, you can just go in and go, who wants to rate my team? You have about 30 people coming up to you. So
it's going to be crazy. And, you know, I'm going to enjoy doing that again. And hopefully there'll be another spring one as well. But yeah, come to the preseason one, because that's going to be big. And there might be another announcement on this score yet, but I can't say next. It's top secret, but you know about it already, don't you?
I do. Yep.
We'll talk about that another time. That'll do from us then. We've done about 2 hours and 30 minutes. We are going to try and get the normal black box down next season though, aren't we? We're going to try.
We are, yeah. I need to get a survey out just to hear what people like about the format, and if there's anything people want to change on the general format. Maybe there's certain sections you don't like. We can cut those down, all that kind of thing. I just need to make it. So I will make that this week and send that out. Check the website. Check Twitter as well to see if you're involved in that. Again, the colour scheme's changing next season.
Oh, yeah, it's mint as well, hasn't it?
It hasn't won yet.
I was
deliberately not saying that, but it's. I think it's mint has basically won. Let me just check the poll. If you want to vote, go on Twitter, go on, find Black Box and find the poll. It's between two. It's between green and mint. I mean, mint's winning with 74% of
this votes. This is the most important pre-season decision Absolutely. To make. Forget your Haalands and Salahs. Right? This Absolutely. Is the one.
Yeah. And it isn't, to be fair, mint is nice, so I'd be pretty happy with it. And Billy approved of it as well.
Yeah, he did. And he cares a lot about that kind of thing.
And we're switching to dark mode as well.
So we are. That's going to give me more work. More. Thanks for that, Az.
Yep, no worries.
Yeah, so we'll be back. I don't know when the next episode will be. I think we'll play it by ear, but we're going to be debating the player prices again when we come back, and obviously looking at drafts. We'll have full drafts by then. I fully expect the game to launch some point next week. So it's great to be back. We'll be back with a new colour scheme and all that kind of shebang. What? Go on then. What you got there?
My Rhys James.
Oh, yeah. You got it. I didn't know you actually received it. Very, very good. Very, very good. Gone. Do you want to give a plug to who does that for you?
I do. Yeah, I need to. I just need to remind myself of his
right. of his details. Right, fair enough.
Because it's awesome. It's you know, it's hand drawn by him. Oh God, he's put me on the spot now.
No preparation. You should have this ready, really, shouldn't
you? Well, I can't. I just spotted it downstairs when I went to get the drink. And
oh, right. Oh, okay.
I'll have to find it. I'll put it in the
plug him another thing. Time. But yeah, you'll get him up on the wall next week. Yeah. Will he be in your team?
He's a different design to the others, but I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, always good. I can't look at Rhys James in the face because after what he did to me last season. Can't contemplate him damaging me again this season. Oh, I've got to have a better season this time.
I've got to find the guy who did this because it's really embarrassing because he listens.
You've only got a few minutes because we're going to end this in a minute.
I know. Give me.
This is the content they want to come for, right? This is it. While you're doing that, if you're still watching this, like the video, review us on the podcast. We would say, and subscribe. We want to get a 30K this year. We should be able to do it. We're on 26 something or other. You know, nowhere near the likes of Slippers, nowhere near the likes of Raptor and Focal, but you know, we're like to stick
we're
to
we're
a loyal
had a Raptor.
Following.
Don't give Raptor.
Oh, we had a Raptor. Oh, Raptor's going to catch us and overtake us easy. He's prolific probably. These days. But, we're not looking to rival them, but it's nice to have that loyal following behind the podcast and the stream every week. We're not going to do streams every day. We're never going to be able to do that, but we are going to turn up with a weekly show. Less than 2 hours this time, because I'm determined we're going to get, I don't know how we're going to do that, but we'll see. We've just done 2.5 hours here, if not more. Sure. Is the survey going to be 78 pages? Is that what
you're
saying? It won't be. Right. We'll be back soon with a new look. It's great to be back, though, doing the show, isn't it?
Woo. Yeah, love it. Missed it.
FBL is back. It's a good night for me.
Good night, everyone.
Podcast Network.